Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. So we're going through the scriptures and looking at the Lord's prayers. Now, when I get back, I'll continue in on Sundays and with the messages I already have prepared. But we'll pick up with those when I come back. But we want to continue here as well in Luke chapter 11, and this has to do with the Lord's prayers and the different passages in the Gospels, especially when the Lord prayed and we learn things about Him. This is entitled The Lord's Prayer, His Habit. His Habit. The Lord's Prayer, His Habit. And so he obviously had a habit of prayer. But we're going to look here in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 as a starting place. Luke 11, 1. Scripture says, "It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." All right, let's pray at this point. Our Father, we praise You that we can come to Thee in Jesus' name. We pray that You might bless our time now as we open the Word of God. We thank You for the privilege of allowing us to be back here. We pray that You'll bless our service tonight and bless our fellowship as well. Be with the Word of God as it goes forth now and help all of us to be encouraged in prayer and in our prayer life, we pray. And I pray that You'll hear the requests that we have and as we bring them up later on this evening. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we have then another occasion of the Lord praying. So let's look here. The verse says, "It came past as he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." Now, we've seen a series of passages in Luke dealing with the Lord's prayers. For instance, back there in Luke chapter 3, he prayed when he was baptized. Luke is the only one to indicate this. When he was baptized, he prayed. Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 5, when he was beginning to gain fame and people were being attracted to him, he prayed. He prayed when he was gaining fame. In chapter 9, he prayed with his disciples when they were around. Last time, he prayed at his transfiguration. So he prayed. And I believe in these accounts, he prayed specifically for the immediately following events. And as we mentioned last time, he prayed for his disciples, and the three of them especially, in the Mount of Transfiguration, that they would understand the reality of the future and what he had in store for them. And so numerous times in the Gospels we see the Lord praying, and in each of these cases we can learn certain truths from him. Now, in this passage that really would take us all the way through verse 13, I've tried to break this down into two significant areas, and one would be the request of the disciples. The request of the disciples' request, and secondly, his response. So the request and the response. And we see the request that comes up here in verse 1, and it comes from his disciples. So, Scripture says, as he was praying in a certain place. Now, the Lord prayed regularly, as we find out. And in his prayer life, he was imitating, I believe, David, for instance, since he was known as the son of David. For instance, if you look back there in Psalm 109, here we have an interesting expression in Psalm 109 and verse 4. Psalm 109, verse 4. Here David has written this, and David says in Psalm 109, verse 4, "For my love, they are adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer." So notice that David makes the expression, "I give myself unto prayer." Actually, "give myself unto" is in italics, so the Hebrew is not there, but it's the idea. "I unto prayer." Well, that doesn't make too much sense in English, but it certainly makes sense with the add a couple words here. "I give myself unto prayer." And so there's a good phrase. Good phrase. That's a good phrase that we ought to use. "I give myself unto prayer." But "I give myself unto prayer." Or we could say, "Do you give yourself unto prayer?" You see, make that a question. Or in a comment here, "I give myself unto prayer." Now, in the context here, notice David says back in verse 3, "They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause." So here he had enemies, and his enemies had words of hatred they were heaping on him. And they were fighting him without reason or cause. So here he had enemies around, and they were attacking him with words and all kinds of deceits and so on and so forth. But what did David do? He gave himself unto prayer. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? When things get difficult and tough and so on, to give ourselves unto prayer. When people say things about us, what do we do? What do we do when people say things about us? We get mad, say things back. Well, it takes one to call one. Is that what we say? Or do we say, "I give myself unto prayer"? That's what David did. And that's what the Lord was known for as well. He gives himself unto prayer. And so we have this situation here as well. So he was praying. Now notice the disciples here, as they're with him, and they observe him praying. It says, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples, we don't know which one, but one of them said, "Teach us to pray." So notice in their request, first of all, it was stimulated by his praying itself. They were stimulated to be interested in prayer as they saw him praying. So you see, as we see individuals pray, that should stimulate us to pray. As we read about people in the Bible praying, that should stimulate us to pray. As they observed him, they thought, he gives himself to prayer. This is what we constantly see with the Lord, and this seemed to stimulate them to say, "Teach us to pray." See, so the Lord had an impact upon others in the things that he did. And this would stimulate people to think in terms of, maybe I should do this. And maybe we can make the application here as well. As people see us try to serve the Lord and so on, maybe that will stimulate some to say, I ought to do that. I ought to follow that example. Somebody over here is praying. I ought to do that. Somebody over here is serving the Lord and so on. And so they were stimulated by his act of prayer. And they were stimulated, no doubt, by his ongoing practice. He was praying in a certain place. So here he was in a certain place, and they were with him. And so they not only saw him praying, but they realized this was an ongoing practice with the Lord. And so they waited. But once he was done praying, they immediately went to him and said, "Teach us to pray." So they saw him praying. They saw his practice. And then they came to him and were stimulated because of his person. His person. Who was he? Well, he was their teacher. They weren't following, and they weren't in the group of John the Baptist. They were in the group following the Lord. And so he was their teacher. So they wanted their teacher to teach them how to pray, like John had taught his disciples how to pray. And so they come to him. Now, we have very little about John and his prayer life per se, but if you look back there in Luke chapter 5, we have verse 33, 533 of Luke. We have a statement about John. And this verse says, And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? So here we have an insight into John and his disciples. His disciples fasted often, and his disciples prayed, we find out. But the word behind prayer here for his disciples is deasis, which has to do with asking for supplication. That's primarily the idea. Supplicating, give me this, give me that. Asking for a need. I need have a need. And so that seems to delineate John's practice of prayer was he taught his disciples, when you have a need, pray. And of course, nothing wrong with that. But that seems to be really the sum total of our understanding of what John taught his disciples. But here, they wanted to be taught by the Lord. So we see their request. Here's their request. Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. All right, now, in verses 2 through the rest of this section here, this is really his response. His response. So he gives them a quite thorough response. And in contrast to how John taught his disciples to pray, which all we have, we're not trying to denigrate John, but all we have is that he said, when you have a need, ask for it. Ask it to be filled. But the Lord gives a great deal of elaboration here. In fact, in his elaboration, in his response, he gives an example. He gives an example. Secondly, he gives an episode. And thirdly, he gives encouragement. So think of that. He gives an example, he gives an episode, and he gives encouragement as he teaches them about prayer. First of all, the example. In verse 2, he says, when ye pray, say. So here's the example. Here is a sample prayer for you. Now, in the sample prayer, we recognize certain general truths that I think the Lord was trying to bring forth here. First of all, we go to the Father. We pray to the Father. And the Lord even said this later on. He says, pray in my name. John 14, 15, 16. But here we pray to the Father. So here's one principle in prayer. When we're praying, we pray to God the Father. And the idea of this is we can now come to God the Father, who is creator of all, the sovereign one of all. We can come to him through Jesus, the mediator. And so what this does is show the mediatorial work of Christ that he did on the cross to make it make available our approach to God. And so this keeps intact this idea of Christ's intercessory and mediatorial work on the cross. So we come to the Father through Jesus. And so the Lord brings us out. So we recognize the Father. Now, sometimes from a practical point of view, we can say, dear Lord, you know, address the Father as Lord because he is Lord. So this is a term that we can use. We can talk to the Lord. And now we have to be careful. If we're addressing the Father, we don't say, dear Father, thank you for this and that, and help me here and there. And in thy name we pray. We don't pray in the Father's name. So we have to be careful there. Now, sometimes people get a little mixed up here and so on, but we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. But the Father is Lord, and so we can call him Lord. And sometimes in our prayer when we say, dear Lord, thank you for this food. Well, we can be addressing the Father. And so... But the Lord lays this down. So he gives them his example. So we approach the Father, and then he tells us a little bit about the Father. He's in heaven. And he is holy. Hallowed be thy name. So here we have, we address the Father, then we can bring in some attributes of the Father. He's holy. He's hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. He's righteous. Some of these characteristics about the attributes of God. We can bring these into our prayer. And then another point in general in our prayer life is that, notice he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and as in heaven, so in earth. So, in the Lord's kingdom here, as he's talking about the kingdom, this is a spiritual realm. And so when we address the Father, we ought to address and come to him, first of all, about our spiritual needs. That should be priority, our spiritual needs. And so this is the way he lays this out. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. See, that's the spiritual realm. And then verse 3 says, give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread. So this takes us into the physical realm. Nothing wrong with praying for physical needs. But we ought to have our priorities. Our priorities, first of all, ought to be spiritual priorities. And then physical priorities. And then, once we have dealt with this, our prayer life ought to include my relationship with others. So he says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. So think of that. In our prayer life, we ought to consider, first of all, the Lord, our spiritual needs and our physical needs, and then, what about my relationship with others? Because as I mentioned here on, as we're going through 1 John, a horizontal relationship is just as important as a vertical relationship. So if we're not right with one another, how can we be right with the Lord? And so we have to keep that in mind. So the Lord lays down some general principles here. Now, I don't think his main intent here is for us to, we can memorize this. There's nothing wrong with memorizing scripture. But then we have a memorized prayer. And so we kind of cite it in a rote fashion, where it becomes meaningless to us. Nothing wrong with memorizing this, but some people say when they're in duress and so on, well, I quoted the Lord's Prayer. Well, maybe you can pray something particular to your situation and, you know, not just be quoting a prayer here. So understand what I'm saying. Nothing wrong with memorizing Scripture. But just to say a rote prayer in time of need, we don't want to be like heathens and Catholics, right? Not much difference there. But anyway, so we see in his example then, we come to the Father, we acknowledge who he is, we deal with our spiritual needs, we deal with our physical needs, and then we consider our relationship with others. So here's his example. Then he goes on and he gives us an episode. Not only an example, but an episode. The episode has to do with a friend who has a friend. And he goes to a friend. And he needs a bread. And so he comes and the friend's house is locked up. The door is locked up. And he comes to him. And he keeps knocking and knocking and knocking. So the whole point of all this is a big, long word in verse 8, importunity. Importunity, I think this is the only time it's found in the Scriptures. Importunity, but this has to do with persistence. So prayer is being persistent. We don't ever want to get to a place where we say, well, prayer doesn't work. I tried it one time. One whole time I tried it and found out it doesn't work, so I'm giving up on prayer. No, it's importunity. It's constant prayer. And quite often praying for the same things. So This has to do with importunity. And in the verse 9, where he has asked, seek and knock, these are all present imperatives. So the idea is continue to ask, continue to knock, seek, and continue to knock. So the idea is you continue. Importunity. So in his episode here that he gave of the friend who had a friend who went to a friend's and wanted the bread, he was able to get it because he had importunity. He consistently asked prayer for things. So we have the Lord's response. He responded by giving an example. He responded by giving an episode. And then thirdly, he responded by giving encouragement. He says here in verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? So what father would do that? If a son came to the father and said, I want bread, and he gave him a stone, what kind of a father would that be? I mean, what would we think if we were the son? We came to somebody, give me bread, they gave me a rock. And human fathers don't operate that way. Human fathers want to be a benefit and a blessing to sons and children. And so certainly in that human relationship, if a father would be gracious enough to give bread when bread's asked, wouldn't the Heavenly Father operate on the same token? Well, of course he does. So when we ask for bread and fish and egg, maybe for breakfast, what do we get for breakfast? Do we get stones and serpents and scorpions? No, we get what we ask for. So he's trying to encourage. Even in the human realm, when people ask for specific things, usually people, and certainly in a family relationship, a father-son relationship, would give what is asked. So he says in verse 13 then, if ye then being evil, know how to good give good gifts unto your children. So notice now the Lord knows man, you're evil, you're a sinner. But even as a sinner, you have some decency in you that you would give a son who asked for bread, even though you're a sinner. So he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So here's the promise of the giving of the Holy Spirit. This may have to do with the ultimate giving of the Spirit in regeneration once that takes place after Christ ratified the new covenant and so on. But here the Lord would give something good, like the Holy Spirit. And so this is an encouragement. The Lord encourages us to pray. So he was one who was given to prayer. He encouraged us to pray. He taught that prayer was beneficial. He, as the God-man, prayed regularly during his earthly lifetime. As the God-man, as the man, he was dependent upon the Lord to help him. And he did this also for an example for us. And so if he, as the God-man, can go to God in prayer and pray, should we not as well? So here we see the Lord's habit of prayer. And as he had this habit of prayer, he stimulated others to want to know about prayer. So hopefully, as people see us pray and know that we pray and so on, they'll be stimulated to pray. And as people know about our church, the church that prays, they'll want to give us not only prayer requests, but they'll want to say, well, maybe we ought to do that as well. And so there was the request, and then there was the Lord's response. And so he gave a very elaborate response here to encourage us to pray. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we praise you for this section now. We pray that you'll help us to be stimulated to more prayer because we've read the passage. We know that you prayed during, or the Lord prayed during his earthly lifetime. I pray that you might bless each of us now as we reflect upon this and we go to prayer here. In a few minutes we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.